The Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. And check out Dr. Oz and Dr. Roizen's website, youbeauty.com. Here are Joe Galewski, Dr. Deb Lonser, and of course, Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
Yes, it's a thing of beauty every week. It's you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. It's the passionate radio show that helps you take control of your genes to become the world expert on your body. We thank you for listening today. Dr. Mike Roizen is the Chief Wellness Officer at the Cleveland Clinic. He's in Cleveland, Ohio. Dr. Deb Lonser is a pediatrician, not with us this week, and she will be back soon to join us on the show. Very easy to do on the phone, 877-711-5211, or udocs@gmail.com. youdocs@gmail.com. We stream at gabradio.com. And anything you may have missed or want to hear over again, a lot of this stuff is great to hear over and over again. The information never wears out. You can do it at radiomd.com. Coming up in this hour, 17 after, 20 after, it's What's Toxic and What's Not, Dr. Gary Ginsberg. There's a study out about asthma. How about toxics and couches? My goodness, toxics and couches. Also, it could be some pesticide toxicity from bed bug sprays. And maybe doctors ought to take a stand against household pesticide use in general. That is some of the issues Dr. G will be tackling at 20 after the hour. Then at 34 past the hour, it's called Straight Talk from the Docs. Joining Dr. Mike is Dr. Arthur Perry. And what's the back and forth about today?
Well, we're talking about two things. One is, can you, this is a key thing, can you, by taking a pill, turn gray hair black? And I think that's a really, if you will, from my standpoint, an incredibly interesting problem because it is melanin pigment. And the second one is close to my heart as well, since I have gray hair, that one's close. And the other one is relates to anesthesiologists, which I have been one, and that is an anesthesiologist needed for cosmetic procedures? That is, what's the chance you will survive without an anesthesiologist? Are surgeons good enough to do this now? Are drugs safe enough to do this now? So we'll cover both of those in a study. And well, if you want to get in on the action, please feel free to call.
Good. Listen, if you're that worried about gray hair, I have a couple of extra cans of this stuff you spray on, like from Ronco. Remember that, Ronco? Ron Popeil? A couple of infomercials. I bought an extra case of that stuff. Just spray on the bald
what is
spot.
That?
it's a couple of years old now. I can't vouch for the...
I don't know it.
Oh, it's an infomercial. You spray it on, it gets rid of gray hair. It's one of these Ronco things.
It's a spray on.
I can't vouch for the effective date, but you know, I can send you a couple cans if you want to do that. here's Dr. Mike and a real age tip of the week. Let's do it.
On You, the Owner's Manual. This is the Real Age Tip of the Week with Michael Roizen, MD.
In the tip of the week this week, reaping the health benefits of sleep. Reaping the health benefits of sleep. If you love hitting the hay early and have no problems resisting the late night lures of Facebook updates, Jay or Conan, or I should say my favorite, John Stewart, you'll love this news. Getting a good night's sleep does more than protect against diabetes, weight gain, and cranky mornings. Clocking 7 to 8 hours also reduces your risk of colon cancer by 50%, heart attacks by 50%, strokes by 20% compared with night owls. That's a stellar return on an investment that requires only a commitment to bedtime, comfy pajamas or nothing at all, your call, in a dark room. More on that in a few seconds. What if you're a chronic sleep skimper like I sometimes have? The shifts in body chemistry linked to late nights and early wake-up calls are enough to keep you up even later. Short sleep can throw off your appetite-regulating hormones, ghrelin and leptin, in ways that make you eat more, gain more, and get more blood sugar problems, boosting heart attacks and strokes. Missing too many Z's can also increase body-wide inflammation, which gunks up your arteries and fuels cancer. Could it be worse? Yep. Ignoring your body clock messes with the sleepy time hormone melatonin, which doubles as a cancer deterrent. Give your body the gift of great sleep can be as simple as sticking with regular lights out schedule, mixing caffeine 3 hours before bedtime, being physically active but not too close to bedtime, and silencing electronics an hour before shut eye and closing the curtain. A dark room will get your melatonin moving and maybe your partner too. The real age benefits, about 1.8 years younger, not even accounting for the extra weight loss and other goodies that this sleep gives you. Reaping the health benefits of sleep. Joe, you don't get enough sleep.
No. As a matter of fact, you know, from what I understand, 25% of us sleep 8 hours or more. That 8 hour thing. Is there any one perfect amount of sleep that's right for everybody? I think we sleep about 2 hours less a night than we did 50 years ago, which can't be good for our health. Is there a perfect night hour?
The people live longest and with less disability if, in fact, they have what we call 6.5 to 8 hours. If you sleep longer than 8.5 or shorter than 6.5, you increase your risk of a whole bunch of diseases as well as disability.
Okay. Let's do the number one medical story of the week. You think this is number one, and then we'll go to Dr. Ginsburg at 20 minutes after the hour. The number one medical story of the week is about soda and its connection to possible connection between a man's cancer. What's the connection?
Well, this is a large study. It was done in Europe where they questioned individuals about their habits, all of their habits, including their sleep habits, but they questioned them about their soda habits. And what it turned out was that those people who had one soda or more, just one a day, of a regular sugared soda increased the ferocity, the intensity, or the aggressiveness of their prostate cancer by 40%. So this is a study, more than 8,000 people. By the way, sugared cereals did it too, about the same amount. And we all know that past studies have linked sugared soft drinks to increased arthritis, osteoarthritis, as well as an increased risk by 80% of stroke in women, as well as diabetes, as well as heart disease. Now it looks like it's also associated with aggressive prostate cancers. You know who owns he owns 9%, his company does, of the Coca-Cola company, is someone who drinks a lot of sugared sodas, and that's Warren Buffett,
wow,
who also had prostate cancer last year.
Mm.
Remember? I pray he's such a great contributor to the American scene and contributor in getting other people to donate money to charity. I just hope he realizes this before the prostate cancer gets to him.
Yeah, that's the top medical story of the week. More to come before the end of this hour. But next up is what's toxic and what's not. Dr. Gary Ginsburg will talk about a study now about more asthma possible. Also, toxics in couches, pesticide toxicity from bed bug sprays. And should doctors take a stand against household pesticide use? Dr. G, what's toxic and what's not? Coming up on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. Don't go away.
Fresh Healthy Vending, the most successful healthy vending machine business in the nation, is now seeking franchise partners. For the first time in your community, Fresh Healthy Vending is looking to launch its highly successful, profitable, and innovative vending concept. Here's how it works. Own your own route of bright, colorful, high-tech, healthy vending machines that offer a range of natural, organic, and healthy snacks and drinks. Yogurts, fresh fruit, juices, smoothies, fruit cups, iced tea, and more. Over 500 healthy products to choose from. These machines will be placed for you by Fresh's professional team of location specialists. Your machines will be making money in schools, businesses, retailers, hospitals, and other profitable locations throughout your community. Securing the most profitable locations for our franchise partners is Fresh Healthy Vending's number one goal. Own your own money-making vending business opportunity. Minimum investment, $80,000. Go to FreshVending.com for the full story. That's FreshVending.com. FreshVending.com.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
I didn't think it was anything.
I had pain in my abdomen. It just wouldn't go away.
I was spotting, but I had already gone through menopause.
These symptoms may be nothing, but they could be early warning signs of a gynecologic cancer, such as cervical, ovarian, or uterine cancer.
Seeing my doctor probably saved my life.
Warning signs are not the same for everyone. If you think something's wrong, see your doctor. Ask about gynecologic cancer. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO for more information. A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is Tour de Cure, and it's more than just a bike ride. It's a celebration. It's where every turn of the pedal helps stop diabetes. Where cyclists of all levels come together to make a difference, to raise money, and to raise hope. It's the ride of your life. It's Tour de Cure. Yeah. Register today at diabetes.org/tour. That's diabetes.org/tour.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. October 8th through the 14th is National Fire Prevention Week, a great time to brush up on fire safety skills. We've all heard of stop, drop, and roll, but there's also the first up, last out rule. This method was developed after studies revealed that children don't always wake up when a fire alarm sounds. Even if they do, they are often disoriented and confused by the noise and commotion. Under these circumstances, children may decide it's safer to hide under the bed or in a closet than venture out into the darkness and smoke. First up, last out aims to avoid that situation. When a smoke alarm goes off, the first person up, usually an adult, is responsible for finding and ushering everyone out of the house. So while a working smoke detector more than doubles your chance of surviving a fire, it is also important to ensure that no one gets left behind. And for more information on children's health and safety, visit www.aap.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here are Dr. Mike, Dr. Deb Lonser, and Joe Galuski.
And we'll connect with Dr. Gary Ginsberg momentarily, having a technical communications issue we're working through. We want to provide you with the absolute best information possible, which we do every week, but also communicated in the best possible way as well. So that will be, once we reach Dr. Ginsberg, we'll bring him up again, talk about his top issues for the week. Just a quick reminder, next week's show, You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, our guest will be J.R. Martinez. J.R. Martinez is an actor, former military man, and I guess a pretty good dancer. He had a role on All My Children, and in turn had a role on Dancing with the Stars, where he was the champion. season 13 champion. And after being injured in Iraq, J.R. Martinez became a motivational speaker, actor, and again, Dancing with the Stars. So J.R. Martinez, our guest next week here on You, the Owner's Manual radio show. Let's see, we got our communication problem ironed out. Dr. Gary Ginsberg. Hello, Dr. G.
Hey, how you guys doing?
You're sounding very manly this week, so thank you. Thank you very much.
Assertive, stepping right up to the microphone.
Very, very assertive. Dr. Mike, what caught your eye with Dr. Gary Ginsberg's topics this week? What do you like the most?
Well, the one on pesticides and bed bugs. Yeah, you know, we've talked about bed bugs before on the show, but the CDC just released somewhat of an emergency message because there's been an outbreak of misuse of pesticides to treat bed bugs. And granted, this is not an easy problem for pesticide applicators to treat, but they shouldn't pull out, a shotgun approach here. That apparently some of them have resorted to using very strong, inappropriate outdoor use only pesticides to try to kill bed bugs in apartments, and it's led to some poisoning cases, not death poisoning, but sickening poisoning cases that has alarmed the CDC and is putting out a warning to, first of all, if you've got a bed bug problem, you probably need to use pesticides. You probably don't want to do it yourself. There's not one of these do-it-yourself projects. You probably do need to get a licensed applicator who's got experience in this field and knows exactly where to spray and how to spray and to make sure they're using the right pesticides. And, you know, the whole idea of using chemicals that are intended for outdoor use inside, that goes for glues and sealants and caulks. If things are, say, on the label at the hardware store, use for external use, do not use it on the inside of your house. It's probably not safe for the interior environment. Same thing goes with these pesticides. So anyway, try to prevent bed bugs by not bringing any home from any shady hotels you might be staying at, checking your luggage as you unpack, make sure you don't release anything, and, try to not use a lot of pesticides.
Gary, are bed bugs sensitive to temperature? In other words, if you kept your luggage in a freezer or refrigerator for a day, would that deal away with it?
They're sensitive to heat. So if you wanted to steam clean your luggage, that would work. And if you have a bed bug problem in your own private house, you may be able to steam clean and get rid of all the clutter. The first thing is get rid of all the clutter and expose all the areas where the bed bugs may be, including cracks and crevices, and then steam treat all those. You may be able to get rid of them from your own house. But, however, if you're in a big apartment building, you may just chase them off into the next unit, and they may come right back. So that's where the pesticides come in.
I was wondering, since I obviously stay at hotels an awful lot, wouldn't know whether I caught them, but one of the reasons, I don't think I stay in exclusive hotels, if you will, but yeah. One of the reasons I was wondering that I haven't had the problem is maybe because I leave my luggage in the car in the cold, usually, and so they aren't that sensitive to cold, is what you're telling me.
No, they're not. That's not going to work. Good thoughts on Mike, and you must be staying in the right places. Although I've heard of some fancy hotels that had claims of bed bug problems. The good thing about bed bugs, however, is that they're not infectious. If they bite you, it's unsightly and unpleasant. But it's not, and they don't infect you with anything that we know about, at least.
There's a study You want to say something else, Mike?
No, go ahead, Joe.
Okay. A story I like is the one about couches and toxics in couches.
Yeah. No, well, it won't burn, but you sit on it. You know, the flame retardant levels, and we've talked about this also, the flame retardants in couches, and this latest study that came out from University of California at Berkeley tested 102 couches
And the new information here, I think why this story made headline news is because a flame retardant that was banned from children's sleepwear back in the 1970s, Truss, that's what that was shown to be at fairly substantial levels now in these foam couches. And I looked it up, and apparently the production levels of Truss has gone up as the production levels of some of the other flame retardants that are now being phased out and banned from couches are going down. So this is the replacement chemical for some of the bad brominated flame retardants. This is a chlorinated one. And that's not the way you want to have your replacements. You want safer chemicals, not something that we already banned from children's sleepwear because it was too toxic. Now they're putting it into everybody's sofa. So, that just shows that we need more government oversight over the chemical, the whole concept of TSCA reform and making sure that whatever chemicals industry is putting into our carpeting, into our flooring, into our furniture, that it is as safe as possible. So anyway, the concern here is house dust. Make sure that you don't, regarding these flame retardants in your home, they tend to accumulate in house dust, so make sure you keep your houses clean. And if you have any ripped couches where the upholstery is showing through, get rid of it, because that's going to lead to much more exposure that way. And if you want to buy a new one, they may market it as this is ultra fire retardant. It meets the California standard. That's not such a good thing. The California standard for fire retardancy is very strict, and they tend to use more chemicals in those kinds of couches. So try to go with the more natural wool upholstery couches that needs less flame retardant.
Ever see somebody put their couch out on the front and put a free sign on it? That's probably not a good thing to do, to take somebody's couch off the street, right?
Well, it's probably not. And it might even have bed bugs in it. Who knows?
That's the thing. I can think of all sorts of problems that kind of encompass all the kind of stories you're talking about today with the bed bugs.
And who knows what the cat did to it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So that's not a good thing. Well, I don't know. Can you talk in about 30 seconds about this study about asthma, Gary? Run out of time, but what are the bullet points of that?
Children living in corridors of pollution is not a good thing. They tend to have more asthma. This study suggests that 8% of all asthma can be related to traffic and kids living too close to pollution. And as we try to make we try to cut down on urban sprawl and put communities right in the middle of highways, not a good idea. We need to go green with our fuel and
all
our
right.
cars.
He's Dr. Gary Ginsberg. What's toxic and what's not? And you know something? There are some things that aren't toxic. That's why you need Dr. G's website at whatstoxic.com, whatstoxic.com. Stay with us. More to come on the show. Straight Talk from the Docks with Dr. Arthur Perry. And he's working on it now, probably, as we speak. It's another Real Age Tip of the Week from Dr. Mike Roizen. Again, gabradio.com if you want to listen on streaming. If you hear a segment you'd like to hear again and knew of a segment coming up and you couldn't catch it for some reason, you can go to radiomd.com and hear very soon, because we podcast shows week from week. So stay with us for the next 30 minutes on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize a message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes, March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. The U.S. is experiencing an increase in the number of cases of whooping cough. This is a serious illness caused by pertussis bacteria. It often starts with what seems like a common cold. Then, especially for toddlers, the cough worsens and leads to the characteristic whoop sound on inhaling. During this phase of the illness, which usually lasts more than 2 weeks, the child can get short of breath and the skin around the mouth may turn blue. Older children may cough so hard they vomit. The illness can be particularly deadly for infants who can develop complications such as pneumonia and seizures. Whooping cough is highly contagious and can spread to children who have not been vaccinated. The best way to prevent this dangerous illness is to be sure your child received all doses of the pertussis vaccine. This is usually given as the DTaP vaccine. And for more information on preventing whooping cough, visit www.cisp.org. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
It's one thing to have a job in this economy, but it's another to have a career that you love. Getting the skills for today's careers may depend on your college degree. So if you're interested in the future of business, electronics, information technology, or drafting and design, call ITT Technical Institute today. With over 100 campuses nationally, ITT Tech can prepare you for a career in one of these fields. After all, tens of thousands of ITT Tech grads have built a solid future. Perhaps they can do the same for you. Classes meet just a few times a week, and financial aid is available to those who qualify. So what's stopping you? For more information and to schedule your campus tour, call ITT Tech toll-free at 800-574-1319. That's 800-574-1319. ITT Technical Institute, education for the future. 800-574-1319.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
And now back to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. And now joining Drs. Roizen and Lonzer is renowned plastic surgeon, Dr. Arthur Perry.
And Arthur, you have a great story that's pertinent to all of us old guys. That is of a pill that can take my gray hair and over a period of months turn them black. When I told Joe Galuski about it, he tried to offer me some spray on stuff.
That's right. I find that Rust-Oleum works pretty well.
Well, it was something like Rust-Oleum you were talking about. It started with an R and was used in an infomercial, he said.
Yeah, those are the things that have fibers that attached to the hair. Well, Mike, for probably hundreds of years, people have tried to find something that would turn white hair brown again. You know, it really is sort of the fountain of youth. Scientists don't quite understand, interestingly, just why black hair, brown hair does turn first kind of speckled and then eventually completely white. There's a lot of different theories. And one that has been proposed in the last few years, and there's a couple papers that I sent you that say that a local environment of hydrogen peroxide around the hair follicle might be responsible through a very complicated pathway we won't get into, but it might be responsible for brown hair turning gray and then white. So, you know, that got a bunch of people thinking, well, hydrogen peroxide, we have things that can get rid of that, right? And there are enzymes, and the enzyme that we know about is called catalase, and that breaks down hydrogen peroxide. So, you know, sometimes, Mike, when we look at cures or these kind of over-the-counter things that are supposed to make you either look better, it's almost like a game of telephone where someone reads something and says, well, you know, if we need catalase, we need more catalase, let's just eat some. And so this one company, and I'm not going to say their name, has this pill that you can buy, and it's got a whole bunch of things in it. But the thing that is supposed to work, the thing that is supposed to turn your gray hair or your white hair brown again, is catalase. And they throw in some amino acids and some vitamins and things like that in it. And they're advertising very heavily now on the radio and on the internet. And I heard it. And I said, you know, this is absolutely ridiculous. It can't possibly work. And I looked a little bit into it. And, of course, there's no publications, none whatsoever, that say that we can in any way manipulate the hair to turn white hair gray. But that doesn't stop these companies from advertising, Mike. But it's not even that it's some cream or lotion that's
put locally. Wait a second. Doesn't the FDA have any role? I mean, in other words, this is a fraudulent claim. They're actually making a claim.
They are making a claim. There is no question about their making a claim. If you go on their website, they dance around it a bit. But they're making claims that they can turn white hair back to brown. And sure, the FDA will get involved.
Do they say to use what are those things? Do they say to use a hair dye as well on the website?
No.
Or how do they get around this?
I don't know. It's a Canadian company. So maybe they're just making it in Canada and selling it in the United States and trying to sell as much as they can until the FDA shuts it down somehow through I guess country commerce channels. I'm not sure, Mike, but this is one where, you know, you look at this and I roll my eyes, and it's hard to believe that anyone would fall for this one, but they must be, because this is a multi-$100,000 advertising program that's going on right now for the company that I will not say the name of. And it's absolutely crazy. You know, I looked into methods of darkening hair since we got onto this subject. And there really is nothing. There really is nothing. There's a few sporadic reports in the literature of diseases.
There's got to be something for methods for darkening hair, like hair dye.
Yeah, hair dye. That's about it, Mike. Hair dye. You know, there's a few diseases, and these are so rare. But here's one for you. It's called sporadic porphyria cutanea tarda. Have you heard of that one?
Sure.
Yeah, that's an unusual disease.
I've written a couple articles on that.
Yep. And rarely with that disease, gray hair or white hair turns brown again, because these porphyrins, these are pigmented chemicals, get deposited into the hair follicle. So it's not really the melanin which is responsible for dark hair, but it's a different chemical that gets into the skin and into the hair follicles. So but you don't want porphyria, that's for sure. Even if it'll make your hair turn brown again, you know, there's really not much else. There's a couple other very, very rare disease states. But Mike, the bottom line here is, don't waste your money. Don't buy this stuff. There's no way. You know, when we talk about nutritional supplements, when someone eats catalase, you know what catalase is. That is an enzyme, and that means an enzyme is a protein. And when you eat a supplement that is a protein supplement, your body just breaks it down.
Right.
That's right. Well, and in fact, this company says, well, this is not going to be broken down in your stomach, and they have a little video on their website why it isn't, but that doesn't mean it's not going to be broken down in your intestine. So, but you do, and the only way you can absorb a protein is to break it down into its constituent amino acids, the little building blocks of that protein. And then,
so this isn't just rubbing it on your hair.
Right. This is taking a pill. Taking a pill. And it's eating catalyst.
Do we know that hydrogen peroxide plays a role in this?
Well, there are about two papers that are suggestive of that.
A total of two papers. Probably Procter & Gamble has been working on this for decades, probably. I mean, this would be a huge market, right? Between men and women, keeping your hair native color would be huge.
Enormous. But remember that if something like this were to work, whether it would be a food supplement or a cream or a shampoo, of course it would be a drug because it would affect not just the surface of the skin and like hair dye, just dye the hair follicles. It would actually change your body, change the physiology, and that defines a drug. So you're not going to be able to eat something and have your hair turn brown.
By the way, again, MA asked a question. I got to tell you, on our email line, udocs@gmail.com, MA asked a question, what do you think of laser facelifts?
Laser facelifts. I'm not sure what she's talking about. I certainly do lasers for fine wrinkles of the face. That's what lasers will treat. Lasers will not lift the tissue appreciably, but they'll get rid of fine wrinkles. They'll get rid of brown and red pigmentation in the face. So lasers are useful, although falling out of favor because the recovery with a laser procedure is weeks, and then your face is red for months afterwards. So we're moving to other energy-based systems like that sound system I've talked about in the past, Ulthera, because that delivers energy without destroying the skin. So
when we come back, I'm going to ask you if you have an anesthesiologist who works with you when you're doing big cosmetic procedures and why you do, Arthur, when the data says maybe you can do it on your own without having one of your patients spend their money on an anesthesiologist. So when we do that, we'll also have the Real Age Tip of the Week. This one is what peppermint oil has been proven to resolve. So those are the two things we'll get to cover in the remaining little time. We thank you for your questions. Keep sending them to UDOCS, UDOCS@gmail.com. Okay, Arthur, we'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Stay tuned.
Great Start Life Insurance, offered by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, ensures the insurability of your child. Now, what does that mean? Well, too often people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards precludes them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. By insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your child, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out about the rates and all the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to greatstartgtl.com, enter the station's call letters, and as a thank you for applying, we'll give you a free non-insurance prescription discount card, good for substantial savings on prescriptions and other medical tests. Keep and use the discount card even if you should cancel your Great Start Juvenile Life Insurance policy. The free discount card is not insurance, and discounts are available only at participating pharmacies. The discount medical plan organization providing this discount card is Vantage America Solutions, Inc. Ensure the insurability of your child and check out the Great Start Plan. Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois. Peace of mind. Now at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
My story may help you. This is what happened. I was talking to my best friend. I told her I wasn't feeling like myself. I had pain in my pelvic area and bleeding that wasn't normal for me. Since it had gone on for a couple of weeks, my friend said I had to go to the doctor. Of course, she was right. Turned out I had uterine cancer, a type of gynecologic cancer. To make a long story short, by realizing something might be wrong and seeing my doctor right away, I received treatment. Now, we're confident I'll be fine. Please, please listen to your body. If something doesn't feel right for 2 weeks or longer, see your doctor.
Uterine, cervical, ovarian, vaginal, and vulvar cancers are all gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everybody, so get the facts. Get the inside knowledge. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO to learn more.
Knowing can make all the difference in the world. It did for me.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. Kids often test parental limits and rules, and sometimes parents decide enough is enough. That's when a timeout may be effective. Timeouts stop children from getting attention after they misbehave. Timeouts work best for children between the ages of 2 and 5, but can be effective for kids as old as 10 in some cases. A rule of thumb is 1 minute of timeout for every year of your child's age. For example, a 4-year-old would get a 4-minute timeout. Some guidelines for a timeout. Give the timeout immediately after the unacceptable behavior so your child knows why she's being disciplined. Explain clearly why the behavior was unacceptable. Calmly place your child in a quiet, boring, but secure place. If she gets up, quietly explain that her timeout isn't over and return her to her seat. When it is over, wipe the slate clean and remember to praise your child each time and every time she shows acceptable behaviors. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
And now back to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here are the You Docs, Dr. Michael Roizen and Dr. Arthur Perry.
And Arthur, there was a new study out this week that maybe cosmetic surgeons don't need anesthesiologists to watch over their patients during surgery. What's your take on this?
I thought you'd like that one, Mike.
I'm obviously prejudiced because people should know that I'm an anesthesiologist as well as an internist. So I feel that even if you only kill 1 in 1,000 by doing it yourself, you still should have a anesthesiologist there to protect you as the patient.
Well, I'll tell you, it's certainly one of the best investments you can make, that is to have an anesthesiologist at your procedure. You know, surgeons who think that they can give sedation and operate, I'll just tell you right off the bat, Mike, they're out of their minds. this study looked at 218 surgical procedures where the surgeon also gave the sedation. And these were not just taking moles off. These were things like breast augmentations and facelifts and things like that. And the surgeon who's got a big responsibility, and that is to make an incision, to do a surgical procedure, to stop bleeding, to sew up.
And to get an artistic result.
Exactly. Should have very undivided attention to the task that he or she is doing. Now, what does it mean to provide sedation to a patient? For listeners out there, Mike's an anesthesiologist, but it is not just giving a few drugs, but it's monitoring the blood pressure and heart rate and EKG and oxygenation and making sure the patient is comfortable and not anxious. And there's a whole art to it, which is why how many years do you have to train to be an anesthesiologist, Mike?
Four years.
So to think that a surgeon...
I mean, you constantly do it. The reason I don't do it anymore, I retired from it about 2.5 years. You've got to do it at least 2 to 3 days a week to be any good at doing it consistently. So I have, when I couldn't do it that often, I said I have to retire from this, if you will.
But I'd take you in a second over me providing the sedation for patients.
Well, that's right. I think, you actually honestly, get very good at resuscitation. You get very good at making sure the patient doesn't get to the point where they need some emergency care. It's constant monitoring. I don't understand how a surgeon could be constantly monitoring and constantly focusing on the cosmetic result. I think maybe the cosmetic results in the study weren't as good. If the surgeon were paying enough attention to the anesthesia.
Right. You know, and you may not know this about me, Mike, but I wrote the regulations in the state of New Jersey for office anesthesia and the surgical standards. And New Jersey mandated the use of an anesthesiologist to provide sedation and, of course, general anesthesia. A surgeon cannot do it him or herself in the state of New Jersey. And that is very, very important. Very important. And listeners out there, there's certain things you can cut corners on in life. You know, you can buy the 26-inch TV instead of the 60-inch TV, but don't chintz and don't try to save money by having
on your safety, your life.
Right. And I'll tell one anecdote. I had a colonoscopy when I was in my 20s, and the gastroenterologist gave the sedation himself. And it was extremely uncomfortable. I'll never forget it. And the next time I had a colonoscopy when there was an anesthesiologist, I'll never forget the words were, "We're going to start. We're going to, okay, we're done now." And and that's it. You know, the difference is remarkable when you have nicely performed sedation, and it's much, much safer for patients. So regardless of this study that was published, I think it's very self-serving. Why do surgeons want to give sedation? And it's terrible. The answer is because they want to save money for their patients, thereby making themselves more competitive. They want lower fees, but for their patients, so that their patients can go to them as opposed to someone else who uses an anesthesiologist. That's a terrible reason to not have an anesthesiologist, but that's the truth.
Arthur, we're going to now go to the real age tip of the week. I typically miss it, so I'm going to make sure we get it. This one, peppermint oil, proven resolve.
Now on You, the Owner's Manual, this is the Real Age Tip of the Week with Michael Roizen, MD.
And Arthur, I was going to ask you what you thought of this one. What is peppermint oil proven to resolve? Upset stomach. Don't you love it when science solves the mystery of a time-honored home remedy? It happened again, and to one of our favorite digestion soothers, peppermint. Turns out this ancient herbal tummy tamer does its thing by switching off pain-sensing nerve fibers in your digestive system. Who knew? That helps explain why pouring yourself out a steaming mug of peppermint tea for an upset stomach, or popping an enteric-coated peppermint oil capsule to ease irritable bowel syndrome, we call it IBS, really works. We've known that for a while, that mint relaxes smooth muscle in your GI tract, which can tone down IBS cramps. That's super useful if you're among one in five people with this uncomfortable problem. Now, we also know it can mute, that is, turn off hypersensitive nerves, which can trigger the internal distress after a spicy meal, too much coffee, a glass of wine, or during the flu. Peppermint tea may be all it takes to smooth a queasy stomach or settle one that's too gassy or bloated, but it may take a stronger dose to ease IBS. That's where peppermint oil capsules come in. To give them a try, stick with 0.2 to 0.4 milliliters of oil 3 times daily and use only enteric-coated versions to avoid heartburn. Otherwise, the muscle-relaxing oil could relax a valve at the top of your stomach, allowing acid to backwash into your esophagus, and that hurts. Fifth, if you're heartbone-prone, skimp the mint-chewing gum for the same reason. the real age benefit of controlling your own health about 12 years younger. And that's the real age tip this week. Arthur, what do you think? Have you ever tried peppermint tea?
No, I haven't, but I eat candy canes. Does that work, Mike? Tell me.
Oh, God. Thank you, Sonar, for great engineering this week. Arthur Ferry, Gary Ginsberg, Joe Galuski, and you, of course, for listening. This is Dr. Mike. You can always send us questions at udocs, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S, @gmail.com. That's Y-O-U-D-O-C-S, @gmail. Come back. We'll be back next week. Great guests and a great show coming up. Dancing with the Stars winner and trauma victim,